Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Friday, November 11th. We're here with you again. And we have two great guests in the studio. We'll be joined by them in just a moment.
Yes.
Tori, you had a comedy show last night.
I sure did.
That was last minute.
It was, and I was part of the Wittiest Women.
I know. I saw the post. I said, damn, I want to go, but this is last minute.
It's in Burbank. It's at Flappers. It was great. I had a great time, great crowd.
How many comedians were there?
There was about 10 females, all very funny. We got 3 minutes each, and then we hear results later today, so we'll find out.
Oh, so it was a competition.
Yeah, Wittiest Women.
Wow.
Women, I don't know.
So they didn't. So who was voting?
Audience.
The audience was voting. And they had to count the votes and everything?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you'll find out today.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we wish you luck.
Thank you.
I know you're probably the funniest one there.
I was obviously the funniest person.
Yeah,
there.
Right?
No, there were some really great, great females. Great,
really?
Funny women. Yep, it was very good.
So, I mean, but can you deliver a pretty good set in 3 minutes?
It's hard. You just have to do like 2 to 3 jokes.
That's
my jokes
about
take
it,
a, yeah,
right?
My jokes take a while to like show up. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's like you really have to be funny in 3 jokes.
You really do.
Right?
Yeah. You have a very
short
amount of time.
You don't get like 20 minutes or 40.
No,
minutes.
You have to make an impression pretty quick.
Wow. So you can bomb quick too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep, you can.
But you take those chances.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, you do.
And
life's about risk.
Right. Remember, and when we had a modern day Indiana Jones here,
mm-hmm.
he said he could never do what Tori does. So
that's right.
It's brave.
I'm amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, you are. So a couple of things in the news. Your smartphone is hurting your sleep.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes. Don't look at it near bedtime. Is that it?
Yeah.
Good call.
So apparently it. And you know what? Last night I had the exact thing. I mean, I was like looking at my phone. iPad, I think. I went to bed and it took me a while to fall asleep. And the sleep wasn't that great either.
Yeah, it's definitely, you want to put it away at least an hour. I mean, you really want to get 2 hours, but it's not good for the screen, the lighting, everything is kind of messes
right?
you up. Yeah.
And then the thinking also. I mean, you think nonstop, you know?
Read a
it
book, people.
Stop,
come
you
on.
Know?
Get a book in your hands. Listen to some music. Do something other than porn. Come on. Why else do you have an iPad in bed? No, I'm just kidding.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, people use iPads everywhere.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, but,
oh, yeah.
I wonder how often people are like in public watching porn and stuff, you know, on
probably
their phones
pretty,
and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
You know? People do that.
I'm
I mean,
sure.
people have sex in their cars, you know? I mean, so I'm sure they could do things like that too.
I'm sure.
Public, you know? Porn is everywhere.
Porn is everywhere.
Yeah. So what's happening? I mean, do you want to talk about the protests real quick? I mean, do you not?
I'll give you the option. No, I mean, I think they're out there. I think so Trump and Obama met.
Mm-hmm.
It was super awkward. They acted
yeah, right.
really nice. It was couldn't be more uncomfortable for President Obama. I can't imagine.
Right.
You know.
I know, after all the things he said.
Yeah, like it's just really uncomfortable.
Right.
And there's a famous picture that's on the New York Times going around. And Trump, when they shook hands, Obama looks him square in the face and Trump looks down. So it's just a funny
really?
Moment that's kind of gone like, look at it straight in the eye. So it, and you know, Trump called him a great man, which is like a total reversal. He was like,
right.
I will use him for counsel.
Right.
So, you know, I'm glad they broke the ice. Melania had tea with Michelle Obama.
Ah.
Very nice.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, she introduced herself.
We gotta
herself
be diplomatic
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, she said, I'm Michelle, and Melania said, I'm Michelle. No, I'm kidding. I saw that as a meme somewhere. That's not mine. I can't take credit. But yeah, I mean, they're really trying to make it a successful, peaceful transfer of power.
I really hope so. And you know, maybe it means a lot of what he said in the campaign is not real. He's not going to follow up on
maybe
it.
Maybe he shouldn't have said it then. But you know me. I think people are now wearing safety pins that started in Sydney to indicate if you're a Muslim or someone of color, if you're a minority, you feel uncomfortable, you can go to me as a safety person.
Mm.
So if you need to go to the bathroom, you want to sit on a bus,
wow.
stuff like that. Well, a lot of like stuff has come up with like a lot of stuff at schools and bullying, you know, let's hope it dies down. But, you know, it's a tense time. It's tense.
It's very tense.
Yeah.
It's fire.
It's fire. And I'm proud of the Obama administration for being so gracious.
Yeah. But, you know, what I sort of predicted, these protests and stuff, because people felt so strongly against Trump that...
There's also protests when Obama won. It happens. You know, when people feel very strongly about a candidate, they're going to want to have their voices heard.
Yeah.
And 46.9%...
about people's lives.
Yeah. And almost half the population that could have voted did not. That's what I'm like crazy about.
Right.
It's insane that many people didn't
vote. It's a
very
low turnout.
Low turnout.
Didn't everybody think there would be a lot of people voting?
And white women we thought might go... not for Trump did. I mean, 30% of Hispanics. So it was a very strange, but 46%, almost 47 didn't vote. So it's just insane to me. So
it's very crazy.
Yeah.
And then people are going to sit there and complain. And
yeah,
stuff,
you have
right?
no right to complain if you didn't vote.
Yeah.
So I hope it'll be a successful transfer of power. Did you see Michelle Obama and LeBron James do a mannequin challenge?
No, I didn't.
Do you know what that is? We should do one. It's like where you have to stand still and someone videotapes you in like a tableau.
Mm-hmm.
So LeBron and his like buddies were visiting Michelle Obama and they did one. And
so you got to stand still?
Yeah, like I'm pretending to read and talking to you
right.
and you're like about to talk. But I know it sounds lame right now, but it's super cool.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's
Black
funny.
China did one in labor with Rob Kardashian and pretended. It was very funny. I mean, I got to be honest. Very, very funny.
All right, so... You know,
that's what happened. So I think they're trying to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. In China, I guess this boy fell in a well. Did you hear that?
Sounds like every like fable. What happened?
Right?
What happened? Was the fog smog too bad? I mean, honestly, China's got to deal with
this. Is a little kid though.
What happened?
Let's see, how old was he? They didn't say. Maybe they did, but I'm not seeing that. But he was helping his dad, I guess, in the field or something.
Wow.
He fell into this well that's only like 1 foot wide. And he was helping his father harvest vegetables, I guess.
God.
So they were trying to get down there, but it's too narrow for an adult.
Were they going to send a
so
kid
So they
down?
Were digging out the well, but he had died already.
Oh, my God. That's a terrible ending.
It is their terrible ending, right? Mm. After 4 days, man.
Wow.
Terrible ending. But there were a lot of people trying to, like 500 responders trying to get this
that's
kid
so
out.
Sad.
You know? I know. Also, before we get to our guests, I guess NFL owners are privately supporting use of marijuana for pain management.
Why wouldn't they?
What would you think of them apples?
I know. What would you? Now, are they, but don't they have to take drug tests?
They do.
So that's
I know. I don't know how that would work.
Do they test for weed? You'd think weed would not make you a better football player, though. You'd be
right.
like, I'm cool. I'm going
exactly.
to sit this one out.
You know, so
good.
Maybe they're talking only CBD and
maybe.
Things like that. You
wow,
know?
That's
I
great.
Know.
I think any kind of pain management that is easy and not cost I mean, if that's cost effective and easy and natural, why not?
Right, exactly.
Who did they say who?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No, they're saying, but they're saying that players and doctors are calling the NFL to consider marijuana.
Interesting.
To reconsider its marijuana stance.
I'm glad marijuana suddenly became not a scary clown in a window.
I know. It's like last night I was suddenly feeling, you know what, all my neighbors that are bitching, let them eat it now, you know?
Like let them eat cake.
Like it matters, right?
Yeah, laced with weed. No, it's become like I watched Trevor Noah and he was like, hey, he spoke to his correspondent, Roy Wood Jr. He's like, anything good happen? Mm. And he's like laying on the table in despair and he goes, you can smoke weed in Massachusetts. I'm like that. I mean, it did. There was a huge victory for legalizing marijuana and it quickly changed from being a reefer in the from the 30s to now, it's made an incredible journey at warp speed. I think people see the benefit, see the cost effectiveness of it, see and again it started with cancer patients, and you can see that from there on with pain management, it's completely effective with very little side effects.
You know,
go ahead and take your opiates because that's not going to be a problem.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that's the thing. I mean, look, half of the patients at medical marijuana, if not most of them, get it for recreation. So, you know, let's cut the bullshit.
Yeah. And also, if you happen to be doing it for pain and you think opioids are better, well, look at the opioid,
addiction
problem
epidemic,
we have, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't listen to that argument anymore.
Yeah.
I'm falling asleep. on my opiates. No, I just think that's crazy.
Yeah,
I think it should be opened up. And I think, to be honest, for if you're a Republican and you're a prude and you're listening, it's going to give money to your city or state. Mm-hmm. You want some money? I know you do.
Right.
You're a Republican. Go ahead and get some weed out there.
Exactly.
That's my argument for you.
No, that's true. But don't raise the prices, for crying out loud.
Supply and demand, man. It's going to be cheap as hell.
I don't think so. No, they're saying it's going to be more expensive, plus 15% sales tax.
Yeah, well, yeah,
so there you
I'll
go.
Pay it. Whatever. Sorry, I will.
All right. Well, we're going to get to our guests right now who are sitting here patiently. We have Veda, Mr. Veda, in the studio. Hey. Welcome to the show, sir.
It's such an honor to be back.
Yes,
man.
Back for the second
morning.
Time.
Yeah.
Glad to have you, and you brought a friend with you, Mr. Yeah. I'm Real.
Yeah. Yes.
Get to the microphone so we can hear you, man.
I'm real.
He's real, man. He's real. Welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, man. It's always a pleasure, you know?
Of course, of course. So you're a musician.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
I'm a musician, a recording artist, a businessman, and all that. I was just going to say Sam is one of the people that I actually look to, man. He doesn't even
know that. Wow. Very cool. Thank you.
You have a lot of things that, you know, keep you busy.
Thank you.
You know, and I pride myself on
that. I just need to learn how to make money, and then you should really look to me, you know? Right now, I'm not the best example.
Right.
You don't need to tell people that.
Yeah, well, you know.
Right. Like I'm not productive.
Yeah. I'm busy, but I'm not making money.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, you know, being a businessman is not as simple as picking up the money you're making. Yeah. There's a lot involved, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of business are you involved in? I mean, obviously related to music.
Right, yeah, definitely in different areas of, you know, of entertainment. You know, like why naturally, I've been in the music business for 11 years now. I started off, you know.
How old are you, 12? Like, that's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm 27.
Oh, wow. You look a baby.
Yeah, he looks very young,
yeah,
right?
And even like this little face you're having, it's literally new. Like, this came like 2016.
Whoa.
His voice just dropped.
But I've done like, you know, different like artist marketing and branding, you know, for some of the biggest artists, you know, being a part of like their campaign.
Really? How cool.
You know, because, you know, working for Interscope, we got some of the biggest artists from 50 Cent to Black Eyed Peas, you know, Keisha Cole at the time.
When did you start working at Interscope?
2006.
Wow. Yeah.
So you've been there a while.
Yeah. Well, I'm not there anymore.
I see.
You know, but that's how I started. Wow. You know, then when I left Interscope, because basically, you know, as a, like, if you're staff at a record label, it's just like being signed as an artist, which means that you're signed exclusive. So if I have the, if it's my job to have our recording artists walk through different clubs for promotional purposes, go to different radio stations, I'm not supposed to use that expertise for someone who's not signed to the
label. Oh, I see. Mm.
So when they had a lot of layoffs in 2009 and 2010, we could still be contracted, you know, by the labels. But we're not exclusive anymore. So I was, you know, allowed to like
open
work
up
with Sony and Atlantic, and I was working a Pitbull record, you know, that went number one that year. It was the Give Me Everything record. Also had another number one record that same year, Kelly Rowland with Lil Wayne, My Motivation. And I've also done like residuals and royalties for musicians. Like right now, I work for Screen Actors Guild.
Wow.
You know? So like I do residuals claims, and you know, it's funny, like I kind of made a joke, you know, because like right before you came, some gentlemen came because they thought they had an interview and they assumed I was a rapper, which is which is true. I am a rapper. You know?
Ironically, however, it is true.
But when I'm like doing certain things, you know, at my 9-to-5 job, like even though I do music and I'm blessed enough to, you know, to actually have, you know, money come from it, I still have a 9-to-5 job. I do residuals claims for Screen Actors Guild, so I make sure people get paid residuals.
Right.
You know? So
I live off those residuals.
So Lionsgate, Paramount, they talk to me. They might not know they're talking to the dude who they just thought was a rapper.
Yeah, right.
With a chain on. You know, they might not think I look like me, let alone the young part, you know. You know, but, you know, it's different areas of entertainment, man, and I just like to, you know, inform myself because, you know, knowledge is power. You can make anything happen, you know.
So you go beyond music. You're into acting and stuff, too.
Well, the business side of it.
Yeah,
because, you know.
So, if you're not really an actor or anything, how did you get into the Screen Actors Guild? I mean, what attracted you to it?
Well, it's just that side of the business. I've done residuals and royalties, you know, for years.
Okay, gotcha.
When I left Interscope, I started doing residuals and royalties for another union called the American Federation of Musicians. So, you know, I would do a lot of things for their commercials, make sure the performers, the actual musicians and artists got paid residuals for that.
Are your parents like super business people? What do your parents do?
My mother is, I never knew my father.
Wow.
And my mother, I love her. We cool now, but I've never seen her work before.
Really?
You know, like,
how did you get this work ethic?
I don't know, man. God just hooked me up, to
wow.
be honest with you.
Do you have siblings?
No.
So it's just you coming out with just this?
All right, I'll be honest with you. I do have siblings that I don't talk to.
Sure. Same thing.
Same thing, right?
Same thing.
You know, but I guess, you know, I guess just growing up and not having anything, like I literally never had nothing, you know, and I had to take care of myself since I was 12. Like when I was 12, that's why I say like I love my mom now, we're cool now. But when I was 12, we used to have like really rough times. And like she didn't buy my clothes and stuff when I was 12. Mm. So I used to buy my food and my clothes. So I guess that's where it came from.
Survival.
That's the only thing I can think of where I had to. But at the same time, I could have just gave up. Like a lot of people who grow up, like I'm from South Central.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us who grow up, you know, in South Central, Watts Compton, or any poverty stricken area in America, we kind of give up because I'm not the only person that grew up like that. So I don't know why I didn't give up. I guess it was music, because I always said I want to do music.
From the start.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
and
like,
it's not just music. I think in your head, you probably refuse to be a victim, you know?
Right.
Refuse to say, I can't do this just because these are the circumstances. I'm going to go beyond that. And I see we see a lot of success like that, you know?
Yeah.
Almost everyone we interview has not the same story, but a story of like, I had to do this. I made it happen.
Right.
I stuck through.
Right.
I focused.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
You know, and even like, it's almost, because I feel like ambition isn't a learnt behavior.
I know what you mean.
You know, it's either something you have or you
I
don't.
I wish I didn't have it. Oh, I want to be so famous. Oh.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, because even like at my job, I remember I was asked to do a presentation. All right, so like at SAG, and I don't want to bore y'all with the different collective bargaining agreements.
<'Cause it's
literally,
laughs>
you know, but basically, you know, like my job, like it's actually pretty complex. I have to be aware of several different contracts that the AMPTP, which is the producer's agency that represents all of the major production companies.
Mm-hmm.
So if we work for Paramount and we want to make a movie and we sign it as a SAG contract so that we can use SAG actors, there's a certain collective bargaining agreement. And I need to know all of them for all of the different types of movies, all of the different types of TV shows.
That's such a good background for you to have.
And I remember like when I first started there, I probably was like 8 months in, I was asked to do a presentation like just to I guess just to do a presentation on one of the sections of one of our many contracts. And I picked one of the most challenging ones, which is TV. And I remember my supervisor was like, well, that's a tall endeavor. I said, that's why I'm gonna do
it. That's why I picked it.
That's why I picked it. You know, and it's kind of like, I guess it's just in my character, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like,
do you feel like you're underestimated a lot?
Definitely, especially in the business world.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You know, especially in the business world. You know, in the music industry, you know, I'm pretty much known, you know, within the industry.
But it's like a young person in business. That's hard.
Yeah. And especially because I like to do corporate stuff, you know, and it's not a whole lot of us. And when I say us, I'm talking about black people.
Young people of color.
And when I do see, like, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of prominent, you know, black people. It is, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's not like everywhere I turn,
right.
You know, I see that, you know, so I do feel that.
You know. And you can be an inspiring figure for people.
That's the plan. That's my specific goal.
That's
as a matter
awesome.
Of fact.
Yeah,
a lot
that's
of time, awesome. That's why anytime like I go to, you know, certain meetings, if I have a meeting at a label, if I have certain interviews, I always, you know, have somebody with me so they can see it,
oh, wow.
you know, because to be honest with you, like I have a Sam knows I have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She turns 9.
What's her name?
Yeah,
her name
she brought
Lyric.
Her here.
Oh, Lyric.
Lyric, yeah.
Her name is Lyric. You know, and I would love to say that my daughter changed my life, you know, but the fact of the matter is, you know, people who are gang members have kids all the time and they don't change their life even though they love their kids. What changed my life was me being able to intern for a major record label.
Wow.
You know, because I felt like I had a shot. It's like
How did you do that? Like how do you read about an intern? How did you don't have the resources. How did you find out and apply to that?
Honestly, I Googled a whole bunch of entertainment companies.
So this came from you, just Googling and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. See, wow. It's not like he waited for an ad to be out there.
And I called all of them. Like, I literally, it was probably 300 companies. I printed out a bunch of paper. I remember it was a stack. I called all of them for 2 months.
Just cold call.
Yeah, I just called them. Wow. And they never picked up the phone. First CBS called me. See, I like to talk, right? And I used to want to be a sports analyst. Mm-hmm. So CBS actually was going to let me intern for, you know, CBS Sports, Sports Central, Lakers pregame, Galaxy pregame, Sparks pregame, Dodgers pregame. And I was excited about, And I was excited about that. But on my very first day, Interscope called me, and music is my passion. And I was like, wow, you know. And ever since then, I felt like I had a shot. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to go all in to see what all can happen. And I didn't, I was just thinking like, look, man, I want to rap. Mm-hmm. So this is my step into business. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking like, hey, I'm going to know about residuals. I'm going to know about royalties. I'm going to help other artists, brands be successful. Like, it's a lot of artists who have made it since we spoke. Like, since we last spoke, Sam, I came here 2 years ago. And since we last spoke, it's artists who I've contributed to who have gotten bigger over
marketing
the last 2 years.
Marketing and branding.
Yeah, you know. And I wasn't thinking that, but I'm grateful that it happened. And I wasn't thinking like, yeah, I'm going to have an office at SAG. This young black dude going to have an office at SAG. Don't say my name out there, you know.
I've always wanted an office to say my name. I've always wanted that. I was a host at Reels Channel, which is a TV channel about movies. And everyone had a name on their office and their favorite movie written. Wow. And I didn't get a fucking office. So I put one on some masking tape by my table. And I was like, the usual suspects.
That's ambition.
I know. I've always had, exactly.
You're not a victim.
Thank
that's what
you.
I'm talking about. Make it happen.
Don't give me an office. I didn't need an office to be honest, but still. I did want one, and I wanted my name on it. But there's something about steps of success that's visual for people that, like, for instance, I told Sam, I always wanted to have someone have me had water, like a bottle of water waiting for me. That was a visual for me. And then I got here one day, and he was like, I was like, there it is.
There it is. It's happened.
Tiny little thing. Yeah, exactly.
I thank all the gods for that.
Yeah. Some dumb shit, but I really, like, visual little steps on a ladder can help you. You know what I mean?
Name
on
it. You got to visualize.
You have to visualize it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You really do.
How long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing comedy 4 years. I always wanted to be an actress, and it turns out I'm not that good. So I came out to here, and I was like, oh, there's so many thinner people. And so I started, but I do improv at UCB, and I stand, and so I started getting hosting gigs. Mm. And that's when I realized I could just talk out loud and make money. Mm. So that's why I was like, oh, I'm gonna be a host. But then the visual started happening of like, I'm holding a microphone. Holding a microphone with my name on the bottom of the screen.
Right.
I'm introduced and I walk on to the, like, stuff like that. Little tiny things.
That's visualization. Yeah. You know? Yeah, cool. Yeah. So Veda, you brought your friend with you. I don't want to leave him out.
I'm real.
He's real. Yeah. I'm real. Get on the microphone for a second. Yeah. Just at least, you know. I know you're sitting there. Real. He's being polite with you and not taking the microphone. But he wants to talk.
Yeah.
So how did you guys meet?
How did we meet? Man, I don't know. Probably
was that a long time ago?
Yeah, it was. I met him a long time ago. Probably at some, you know, gang function. Now, Steiner's got droop. I wish I was lying. I wish I was like telling a joke. Like stereotypical joke. Like
no rim shot here. No. Yeah. No rim shot.
Nah, that's exactly what.
That's
happened.
Hilarious.
You know, that's exactly what.
Do you go back to where you're from and people sort of like ask you? I mean, yeah, like mentoring and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, definitely. You know, to be candid with you though, you know, when people know you, when they like know the old you, you know, they don't always, you know,
like the new you.
Yeah. You know, like they would rather get advice from people who don't reply to them on Instagram. So they'll call them to ask them the same questions that I can ask them, which is actually funny because the people who they ask actually come to me. Like they pay me for my service.
Yeah.
The dude that you don't know that you're harassing
goes to you.
You know, and you know me. You knew me since I was, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, you know, but there are younger people, you know, there are younger people like within our, you know, within our community, you know, who contact me a lot and some older, but I'm just saying there are some that, you know.
Because it's even nice visually, just talking about visually, to see someone like themselves represented. like that. I mean, just visually see someone literally in an office is like a goal.
Like it's like it's possible.
It's possible, you know? And you don't see a lot of that represented.
Like,
you know,
like even like when I say that the internship saved my life is because I felt like in my mind, wait, this is possible.
Yeah, yeah, this is possible.
Like
right.
it's possible.
That's right.
I didn't even know what an internship was at the time. I just knew it was better than what I was doing.
My mom used to teach inner city schools in Boston, and she'd bring in applications of colleges, and kids didn't even know what it was. Mm-hmm. And it's like now you get to at least see. Yeah. And then she would bring in people from college. So like mm-hmm. everything is then possible when it's visualized, you know?
Right. That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so
true. It's not in their vision.
So Unreal, did you have a similar childhood when you grew up? No, not from there. I mean, what? Do you want to talk from the other room?
Yeah, it was bad.
Well, you had a bad childhood?
I went to school in the same neighborhood as that he grew up in.
Really? Yeah, did you have siblings too when you grew up, brothers, sisters?
Four. Older and brother, yeah.
Okay, and where are you in the list? Are you the oldest?
The youngest.
The youngest.
Yeah.
Wow.
The smartest, but the youngest.
You do music as well?
I write like half of his lyrics.
Oh, wow. So, and do you do business?
No, I'm kidding.
Cut his mic off.
Somehow he's no longer there.
Yeah.
I am not real.
That's funny.
Do you do business as well, music and business?
Nah, I'm in another field.
Nice.
You know, I'm selling houses.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Really? What areas? Houses. Like here in Southern California?
South Bay area.
Wow. Really?
Palos Verdes.
Wow.
How long ago did you get into that?
About 6 years ago.
Really?
That's when I got licensed. Yeah.
How hard was it? I was thinking about taking that test.
It was pretty easy.
Whatever works.
Yeah, like visualizing that too.
Where I come from, you got to be able to pick somebody mine. You know, really good.
So yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The test is pretty easy.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So you passed the test. That was good. Mm-hmm. And you've been doing real estate ever since.
Pretty much.
That's cool.
That
How's business that. Now? Is it pretty good?
It's pretty cool. I'm focused. Still going to school. Continue.
Wow.
Education.
Wow. What are you taking?
Well, it's different aspects of real estate. You know.
Oh, nice.
Like,
you might as well get strong in your field.
Right. Absolutely.
Know all aspects. Real estate. That's what I'm learning from this is like, not only is he interested in rapping, but he's interested in absolutely everything around rapping.
Yeah.
Like, so if real estate, know everything about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you guys been very close for many years.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
cool. And you know, and even like to elaborate on what you just said is, you know, I would always hear, you know, about, you know, record executives, you know, like in the movie business and the music business, you know, about them taking advantage of performers,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I always wonder, like, what do these really smart people know? You know, I want to know what they know. Not that I want to be
the
wicked
curious.
Like them, but,
yeah, but the curious.
You know, I want to know what they know, you know, because everyone who I admire from the Dr. Dre's of the world, the 50 Cent's of the world, because they have a rags to riches story and they became incredible businessmen. They all have stories of being like taken advantage of massively, you know. So I was like, you know, I just want to know the business side, you know, and it's paid off. You know, sometimes it actually gets frustrating because, you know, I feel like the industry might look at me a certain way because I'm like I really do music. You know, that's why like even like the song that you asked me about, the Vader versus V-Lane, I'm actually battling myself.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it's Vader, the man, the father, the businessman battling V-Lane, the flashy rapper slash gang member.
Do you feel like psychologically that happens sometimes for you?
I get conflicted because I had like a 3-month period where I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna do no business for other people. And like when I would find myself at these different networking events and whatnot, and people say, what do you do? And I say, I'm an artist. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm completely shortchanging myself because I'm so much more than an artist.
You really are.
Like, you know what I mean? So, but I had to go through that. You know, I had to go through that because I was like, nah, man, I'm not doing that no more.
It's interesting that you gave yourself advice. Like, you had no one telling you this stuff, but you keep reaching a conclusion that's better and better. It's very interesting.
Wow, bless you. I never thought about it.
Probably an old soul, right?
Yeah,
been around
for
a while.
That's right.
I mean, you said that to me last time. You know, said I seem a little older than, you know.
Yeah, and also because you started at 12. I mean, you know, we're wondering how 28 he's done so much.
So much.
But yeah.
And
I mean,
also, like, I've always had custody of my daughter. Like, she's 9 now. Like, she's lived with me her whole life.
Wow.
You know? And
even,
so, and truthfully speaking, like, okay, she turns 9. So I really don't even know what it's like to be an adult and not have a kid.
Wow.
So sometimes people ask me, like,
true,
like
right?
what's it like to be young with a kid? I'm like, it's really all I know.
Really?
Since when I was 18, my daughter's mom was pregnant. And as soon as my daughter's birthday is right after mine.
When When's your Are you a Capricorn? What are you?
No.
What's your birthday?
November 23rd.
Oh, it's coming up. Yeah, right.
And her birthday is November 26th.
No way.
Yeah, you know, so this literally my entire adult life I've been a parent.
No wonder you want to sometimes let go and be flashy because you haven't had like that time to do it, man.
His alter ego.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
I don't want to be daddy tonight. Yeah. I want to be a rapper.
Yeah, matter of fact, I remember my daughter asked, she said, "Daddy, how come you never do nothing for your birthday?"
Aww.
You know, I said, "I actually always do, but the fact that you think that means I'm doing a good job."
Yeah, that's so nice.
You ain't supposed to know.
Nice.
You know,
there you go.
That's so nice. But it's good.
It probably helped you, you know, because it like grounds you when you have kids. You know, suddenly all the stupid shit is out the window, and you're like, "Hey, this is a human being. I need to take care of it." You know, then I better take myself seriously now.
Yeah.
And you had to do it at an early age.
And you know what's ill about Lyric? And, you know, and I'm glad, like, my lifestyle isn't what it was years ago because, like, she's picked up things that I didn't even intentionally teach her.
Kids are a sponge, man.
You know, like she says she wants to be busy because I'm always busy.
Wow.
She's like, no, can I do this? Like,
what
you know,
a
like,
role
can I
model.
Like, can I take tutoring? Even though I understand the work, she's like, I want to be busy because you're always busy. You know, like, she doesn't know what it means. Like, I remember I had a lady friend, you know, kicking in, and she was, like, sleep. It was, like, I didn't have work that day. It was Saturday, right? But I'm up. I wake up naturally at, like, 5 in the morning. But my daughter wakes up naturally probably, like, 7, 8 the latest. If she oversleeps, it's 8. And, like, and the lady friend was still asleep. And the genuine confusion on Lyric's face was, like, people, like, sleep in. Like, what is this? I was like, wow.
That's
like,
awesome.
like you serious. Like Lyric is judging her. like girl, if you don't get up, you ain't good enough for
Are
my
you
daddy.
Dead? Get up. What's happening?
Girl, you tripping.
That's amazing.
That's funny. Okay, so let's play a couple of your songs. The first one is A, right?
Yeah, let's play. Okay. Yeah, we can play A because that's the most popular one. I was fortunate enough to get on MTV, you know, with this record. MTV premiered the video to this. You know, I did a tour, it was played on radio and everything.
What's it called, A?
It's called A Calling You Out. And as a matter of fact, it's, you know, I don't say anybody's name on his record, but, you know, like, I'm really dissing artists who frustrated me over the years.
Oh, interesting.
Celebrities can be really frustrating.
I bet.
Know? Even, no, I'm not going to say that.
But in what way, though? I mean, how is a celebrity frustrating to
well,
you?
Well, recording artists are like women, all right? And in the sense of...
Careful, I'm a feminist. No, I'm kidding.
Look, you know, that actually would be a really fun conversation.
I know.
You know, but in the sense of, you know, like, they like really, really, really want attention the whole time. And sometimes it's not even like necessary, you know. and one thing that's really frustrating with artists in particular is they don't really want to be a star. They just want to feel like a star.
They want the fame.
Yeah. They just want to feel like one. I don't really want to be a star. I just want to feel like
I want to smell like one. Yeah, that's the feeling of it. I want the innuendo of it.
Yeah, you know, and it gets really irritating. Like, dude, I already told you what we had to do and this and that. And they think they're bigger than they really are.
They want to like take shortcuts and stuff. They think they're going to get there overnight. Yeah.
1,000,000%, you know. So, you know, over the course of, you know, different frustration and whatnot and then flaking and everything, I can't help
flaking. I was going to say, you know, there's a story about Jay-Z where he was going to start rapping and he had a friend who was like going to be there and he flaked. And he was like, if you do this again, I can't have anyone who flakes. And they're still together. Like, he still goes on tour with him. Yeah. But it's the idea of honoring and flaking is actor. I have to say this, not just women, but actors also want a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And flaking is such a big deal. Do you want to go to rehearsal? Oh, I have to get a coffee. Right. You know what I mean? So, it's a frustration.
Yeah. And because I'm an artist, you know, I can't help but think of a rap line about you. Like, if I get mad at you, I can't help that I just thought of a diss line about you. I can't help it. My favorite rapper ever is Eminem. So I'm a battle
rapper. I
love
Eminem.
You know, my second favorite rapper is Tupac. My third favorite rapper is 50. And all three of these people diss people.
Yeah, all the time.
So Vader disses people too. Okay,
there's
it's going
now like
down.
A comedy. Yeah, that's true. The Comedy Store has roast battles now, where you have to roast another comic, and it's just like the rap battles that you saw.
I always wanted. That type of thing in comedy. I was like,
it's on Comedy Central now. They just greenlit it. Yeah,
that's
it's cool. Very much the same feeling. I could never do it because I'd be like, you're it's not as pretty as I thought. No, I can't. I'm sorry.
Man, it's crazy. I always wondered, like, man, it would be cool if, like, comedians had beef the way rappers
just
have beef.
Just the same. That's what we're doing.
So, when they do a set, their 20-minute set, eight-minute set is dissing whatever comedian. I always thought that would be, like, so cool.
Check out Roast Battle. It's up. It's up on Comedy Central.
Yeah, if I was a comedian, y'all see how conversational I'm sitting here, a businessman starting stuff, right? If I was a comedian, I would have did that a while ago. It's
no
going
way.
Down.
You would stand out because there's like an unsaid law that like you don't bring out another comic's name, you don't call them out, and now everything's changing where it's like you're like not funny, I don't feel comfortable about it, right. But that's great. That's
right.
Great.
Right.
Yeah, that's I'm great. A goody two-shoe though.
All right, well, let's listen to the song now, and so now we know what to look for in the lyrics, right? Yeah. So you dissing people.
Yeah, I don't say their name though.
Okay, cool.
Even though I did do a song later.
I'm gonna have to let you go. Yeah, beta.
All right, here we go.
I just need you to listen to this. You tell me.
I like this.
No, nigga. I don't like the way. Because obviously your young ass don't understand what I'm talking about. Look.
Is that what we want to listen to? Because you wanted a different version, right?
The song's about to start in probably like 15 more seconds.
Oh, okay. So we'll just keep it.
This is actually the perfect shit to call these motherfuckers out on.
I'm telling you right now, Beta, if you don't remember one thing, remember this.
See, this dedicated to all the rappers, man. They be thinking I'm tripping. I really don't. Crazy,
yeah, you is crazy.
I ain't crazy.
Nigga, you crazy.
These little niggas don't want problems with me. Sweet words in a G-code like it's in the Bible. Recognize I'm spiteful. When I ain't Hollywood, I just don't motherfucking like. Bitches tycoon killing cycles. Pretending like you blind or have you dead on feelings. I'll pile vinyl. I'm the spinal cord of beef. So niggas speak, it don't take much to leak. Yeah, my running like the kitchen. Only right I make you sink. Cause soon as villain tweet, someone usually go to sleep. To this point, it ain't be me. I barely think I never blink. Spitting vertebrae. This is several ways. Feel the killer phase. Give a taste. Boy, don't never play. You see my resume? Going against me, it's obvious that you have better days. I gangster, but never fray. Cause my killers don't hesitate. Boom, 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 boom. Control your tone. If you don't want woe, then you should move along. Circulate Facebook, bro, cause you lost your dome. Calling you out, bro, there's nowhere to go. I'm not a super duper Christian, I'm just a man that believes. So fuck with another worshiper if you still wanna breathe. Nigga, ease about the homes, I can tell you a clone. If I close both your eyes, that'll help you watch your tongue. I got fake maturity, I be pretending I'm grown. I dare you do something wrong, nigga, throw me a bone. Like, ay, ay, you little niggas wanna play? Erase my voice and rappers always retract what they say. They step in my room, but they don't never wanna stay. It's only so much as I know what my big homie's gonna say. Lying ass nigga, scared of fighting ass nigga. When in private, use a tilt, tuck and tighten ass nigga. I'm gonna mess my counselor said I got a violent ass temper. Get out of line, hall monitor, gon' get right.
Yeah, you're calling out everybody in this song, huh?
Hey, little dudes want to play? I raise my voice and rappers always retract what they say. As soon as I raise my voice, we'll never get a chance to actually do nothing. But, you know what I mean? Yeah. As soon as my brain goes to the part where it's like, okay, you know what? I'm going back to what I used to be. They be like, never mind. I'm like, I could be bluffing. Come on, y'all.
They're scared. It's true. They're scared.
God bless.
Now, the video was filmed in San Francisco.
I intentionally, went out of town. You know, well, one, at the time I did that, which was like 2 years ago, like it was a lot of stuff going on in the Bay. It was a lot of new music coming out of the Bay. And I said, you know what? Because like you couldn't see the video, but the video I shot like right under the San Francisco
Bridge. What's the video? Is it just, is it you like a still frame? Is that what it is?
Or no, actually, he's they're showing it moving. Oh, awesome. Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want see it on YouTube. Yeah, folks.
I wanted it to be like a really active video.
Sure.
Because the song has a lot of energy, right? You know, so
it's also really funny.
Right.
It's funny. The kitchen, the sink part, I'm like dying.
Right.
It's very funny. Good sense of humor.
All right. Thank you. You know, so I really wanted to, you know, like go out there and shoot a video because I was like, how come they not? I just wanted to do something that kind of stood out. So that's why I was like under the bridge and I did a scene. I'm actually glad, like I boxed too. So I'm glad I was in shape at the time we did that video because I actually did a scene twice where I was like chasing our car and the dude who was helping me shoot the video, he was getting mad at me because I was like, dude, I was like, nah, man, we need more movement. And he was like, I don't know what do you talk about? So what we ended up doing was he like basically like got on the back of a car and one of our friends drove it really slowly and I was just like just chasing the car.
Oh,
so I did. So I did that two times, like right up under the San Francisco Bridge, you know, in two different outfits, and I was in really good shape. I was like, yo, I'm not even tired. So that was pretty cool.
Very nice.
Yeah,
so you see the background of San Francisco and everything there.
That's so cool. You're such an artist because even though you didn't know what to do cinematically, you were like, I want more movement.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah,
you so saw I'm the like, whole like, thing.
I know I want movement.
Something,
it has,
yeah.
It has
yeah,
to
yeah.
be activity because what I'm saying is
it's
like
so busy.
Active.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the beat is active.
Yeah.
You know, my energy on the song, and I'm like, the video has to represent that. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, feel like we pulled that off.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We're talking to Veda, and we're not talking very much to Unreal. I don't know why.
I don't think he wants to talk.
He doesn't want to talk.
No, let him be.
So, okay, but just to acknowledge he's here, and he's a good friend of Veda and everything, and he seems pretty cool,
matter
too.
Matter of fact, he was actually in the video.
Really?
Like, really?
It's a scene towards the end of the video where I'm like, it was supposed to be me depicting where I'm like chasing a whack rapper. So it's like Real is like doing like a fake photo shoot or whatever. So I like come and I like push him and I push him out the way and I like invade his photo shoot. So now his his photographer starts taking pictures of me or whatever. So that was him. He had a cameo in that joint too.
Classy. Yeah. I like it.
And we thought of that right on the spot, you know.
Right.
That's so funny.
Wow.
Yeah. And another reason why I wanted to do that particular way is because like I told you, like my favorite rapper ever is Eminem.
Kind of reminds me of his dissing songs and the speed in which you go.
Right, because like you think about the rhyming multi-syllable.
Right.
You know, it's not like I'm just rhyming Mike with hike and pike. It's like, no, I will write hiker with biker and iper fur. And like, and I start playing different little rhyme schemes. I intentionally did a beat that sounds like what, you know, the kids are like doing now, but I wanted to rap really good on it because right now, like, they would rap on that beat, even back then and right now, they would rap on that beat, and they would probably have a song catchy, like, A-A-A, but they wouldn't rap very dope. So I intentionally wanted to do a beat like that, rap really dope on it, be aggressive.
And complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of, to be honest, like, I study poetry because that will give me money. Come on, give me a break. I'm, like, going to be a poet and shit. But we learn rhyming schemes, A-B-A-B, A-A-B-B, and the Eminem's rhyming schemes, and just, like, I mean, seriously, it's, like, A-B-B-B, A-A-B. Half of B, half of A. It's incredibly complex.
Really? Right.
And he does it on instinct.
Right.
So it's almost Shakespearean in the way that it's the pentameter is done.
It is.
So you hear the same kind of feeling.
It is.
Yeah.
And a lot of artists who, you know, who pay attention to their lyrics in that sense, how she just broke down, they don't have records that could be played in a club or like played in, you know, on a radio. And that's another thing that I feel like benefited from me being in the music business because I kind of developed a executive ear as well.
Yeah, what's gonna be poppy,
you know,
enough?
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so
that's definitely something you could play on that radio. That's radio ready.
Yeah.
Other than like, you know, changing some of the words, but I'm saying that's radio ready.
Yeah, and the clubs really loved it. And I also, you know, so I'm lyrical enough on that song to where if I just up and do a really dark song that sounds like Eminem, it still sounds like Veda because that's what you heard on A. And if I decide to do a record that's more club ready for whatever reason, that also subliminally sounds like A as well. Like So Good is like it's a complete record that's you know, it's reminiscent of the 90s R&B. I'm rapping. It's like I'm subliminally using like gospel inferences because so the song is about fucking, you know, so shorty on the song is saying you are so good. good. Like, you are just so good. So she's saying, she's praising, you know, women, it gets really good to them and they say, Jesus, you know. So she's saying, Veda, you are so good. And that's actually similar to what, you know, devout Christians say. They say he is a good God, mm-hmm. right? He is so good. So I also wanted to be complex in that sense, you know, because it's subliminal. Not everyone would naturally get it to the specifics.
Mm-hmm. But it's deliberate.
Yeah, but the human brain, even if you don't know your understanding, it would still kind of get it. Because I have, like, the church organs in the beat, you know, and I have, you know, different, like, metaphors or whatnot.
It's like playing with different genres.
Yeah,
you like to pick up and move stuff around and sort of, like, even if you're not aware of it, you're aware of it in the feeling you have. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Exactly. You know, because I like to study human behavior and the human brain. It's certain
psychology,
things.
Psychology, yeah. Even the beginning of it when there was talking, I looked over at him and I go, man, this is cinematic. You kind of heard like a gangster kind of thing. Like, hey, you want this? Right. I don't want... And that's like a Scorsese kind of beginning, you know?
Look, you pay really good attention to certain stuff. I'll tell you why, because what she's saying is so accurate, because like I told y'all, I grew up South Central, I grew up gang related, you know, I guess I'll always be a gang member. If I become president of the United States, I'm still from where I'm from.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Even if I'm not an active gang banger, right? But so I guess it's like that element never completely leaves you. Mm-hmm. So even like now, you know, I'm not just like even on A, I say I'm not a super duper Christian. I'm just the man that believes. Mm-hmm. So fuck with another worshiper if you still want to breathe, you know. But excuse me. So I might not carry myself like really, you know, like goons or whatnot. But that's still in me. It's still tucked up under this.
It's marinated.
It's marinated. Still tucked up under this leather shirt somewhere. You know, you come around here playing.
You don't take it out of the person, right? Yeah. It's there.
No, it's still in there.
Now, so I want to ask you this because I've always been curious about this. You use the N-word a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot in this song. Now, let me ask you this. So, I mean, what is behind it? You know, as a white person, I don't get it. Okay. Explain it to me. Because are you trying to diffuse the word so it's not as powerful as it is? Why refer to people in that way?
I love the real questions. Absolutely. I love the real questions. Well, for one, it's kind of like second nature. It's like, okay, if someone's like training, you know, to box and you see them shadow boxing, the reason they're doing that is so that they don't have to think. Like, they don't have to think when they're actually in a fight. They're going to actually just throw these punches. And I'm sure with you, acting, doing comedy, and poetry, you know, it's the same thing. Certain things, because especially if you have a set that's only 3 minutes, you have to respond really quickly. So I'm not saying, you know, we took a class where it's like, yeah, we're just going to say the N-word all the time. However, you know, it's literally second nature.
Mm. Right.
You know, it's just
that how you guys talk also when you talk to each other?
Right.
Friends and stuff?
Yeah. And honestly, you know, even like myself, like I've been guilty, like when I have like white friends, it comes out so natural, like I'll call them that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't accept them saying it back.
Right.
You know,
not that I know anything about it, but there's a sense of reappropriating the word to being almost just like pal or friend or just.
Yeah.
And I don't know enough, but when I've read this, because I'm such a lame-o. I watch Oprah and Jay-Z discuss this very thing, and Oprah loves Jay-Z but hates that he uses the N-word,
right.
And Jay-Z is very much in power of retaking that word back.
Mm.
So they had a real interesting discussion about it.
All right. Here's my opinion on that. Like, because there are, you know, it's usually older black people who feel like no one should say it and whatnot. And I understand that. And there are people like Jay, you know, who says like, you know, that's our word and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, we should be able to say it. But I feel like that's up to black people in the community to decide.
Yeah.
You know, because even when it gets to the point of like, okay, the word is a controversial word, it's not even a controversial word until a white person says it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so truthfully speaking, if white people said, you know what, we're just gonna leave that word completely alone and just not even fuck with it, it wouldn't be any controversy because black people wasn't offended when Real said it to some black dude. Black people didn't get offended, but it's a deeper root of frustration and audacity when a white person says it. That's just the, you know.
It's a different sense of power, I think. Who says it is a different sense of power. And when you're able to say it and not be offended, it takes the power out of the word, really.
Right.
You know, and to be honest, I know this is not the same, but when he said nasty woman, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm a nasty woman. I reappropriated that word because it does not offend. My girlfriends love that fucking word.
Right.
I'm like, hey, nasty women, come join me on. So it's a sense of you don't get this power. I get the power, you know?
You know, and it's also like, you know, like women, like women of different ethnicities, like they call each other bitch. Like, right. Hey, what's up, bitch? Like, just say it casually. You know, I wouldn't be able to call him bitch. Like, what's up, bitch? Like, excuse me. You know,
no,
like,
you would not you be know, able to.
You know? And I've even heard, and I hope I don't offend anybody. Like, I've heard, you know, homosexuals call each other the F word. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard it. And I was like, right. Wow. And I didn't think to myself, how come I can't call him that? I just leave it alone. Like, okay, that's just something y'all got. I'll let you have it. Yeah. You know, right. I'm not gonna be like, okay, well, I want to call you the F word too. For what
reason?
For what? Why do you even want to entertain that word?
Right,
you should leave it alone.
Yeah,
you know,
because they're very charged. There's like history behind it, you know.
It is.
And now thank you for the answer. I mean, now I understand it a little better, you know.
It's all good. I love the real questions, you know.
Yeah, I like the answer of it's second nature too. If you didn't say it, it's like now you're holding something back of yourself.
Like
you're being totally false.
And this is the honest to God truth. You can't get no more honest than what I'm finna say. I don't even realize how often I said it in that song until I play it for somebody who's not black.
Yeah, I was gonna white person would hear that so much more.
Like, because I noticed it playing it for y'all just now.
Exactly.
I was like, damn, I said it again.
But it's like, saying dude or cool or like whatever.
Or we don't get offended. We just get curious. Why would you use it?
Like when I just cuss in general, I remember my pastor was like, hey, I want to hear one of your songs. You know, and I was like, I said, yo, I cuss.
Right.
You know, and she's a woman. She's like, Beta, like, I know you.
Yeah,
I
come
just want to hear it. So I'm like, okay, I play it. But I promise you, those shits, dams, and fucks were like bold letters and highlight. I was like, damn, I cuss a lot. Damn.
So bad.
I'm cussing right now as I'm listening to me cuss, you know, saying the worst.
Yeah, not cuss. It's very interesting when I used to work in a bridal salon saying yes. Are you saying yes to the dress? And some people would come to my comedy shows and I get kind of blue, like kind of dirty. Mm-hmm. And I was like, then I'm there and I'm like, fuck, I have to do this in front of like Waspy McGee over here.
Right.
All of a sudden I look like the dirtiest person in the world. So your audience also, it depends on the audience.
Yeah. Right.
So
exactly.
It's those that adapt to the right audience. It takes, it's a juggling act. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
that's true. I mean, I think the older people don't get it. It's a different generation.
And you know, it's amazing with, you know, because like I have political songs. I came out with a song during the primaries called I Hate Pride, where I was talking about, you know, our presidential candidates at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was extremely passionate about it. And I just wanted people to be informed. I'm like, I'm not even saying an opinion. I'm just going to inform you guys, right?
And you just get educated about it.
You know, just be informed, because I hear people saying stuff like they have such a strong opinion. And I'm like, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
Or people don't vote. Like I said in the beginning, 46% of you know, people in the world in the country didn't vote.
Yeah. Well, folks, we're totally out of time. Why don't you tell people how they can find you, listen to your music? Get a hold of you.
Yeah, you can find me at King V Lane on Instagram. You know, it's King Veda on Twitter. It's KingVeda.com. You can check me out.
Veda's VEDA, right?
VADA.
Oh, VADA.
VADA. Folks.
Make sure y'all check out my brand new single. You know, we just came out last week. You know, so I'm running around. It's called So Good. You know, we out here.
Sounds
great, man. Yeah. All right, and I'm real. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
No, get closer to the mic. At least say something.
Yeah.
Blessed us with your silence, but that's okay. You're cool. You brought good energy to the room.
Appreciate it.
All right. Do you want to give a shout out to anybody?
Shout out Veda. New single, So Good.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Get that single first. All right. Well, thank you guys again for joining us. No. All the best to you, man. Continued success with you.
Yeah,
man.
And you're welcome back anytime.
You're like a Dr. Dre booming.
That's
huge.
That's the goal. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I could tell. Yeah. Empires. Yeah.
Awesome. Tori, thank you as
anytime.
Always. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.